Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And Lord, I love the verse in this psalm that says, oh, the peace that we so often forfeit, all because we don't come to you. And Lord, that's what we're talking about today, being in your presence. And so, Lord, I pray today that someone would experience your Holy Spirit, that your presence working in their life, that it wouldn't be about a church service, it wouldn't be about, Baptist or Methodist or whatever it is, that we would come today experiencing and wanting to experience the presence and the glory of our Creator. Lord, we love you this morning, and I just pray that we would let you work in our hearts today as we go through your God-breathed and inspired scriptures today. Help me, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again. As the children are leaving and everybody's kind of getting their place, if you want to turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus, go ahead and find that and find chapter 34. Okay, so we've got two main scriptures today. So find the book of Exodus and then find 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, so we're going to give it to you again. Exodus chapter 34, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to have both of those marked because we're going to get to 2 Corinthians later in the sermon. While you're looking for that, I want to remind you that we are in the process right now, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I haven't talked to more about it, and picking and selecting deacons to serve the church. Now, if you don't understand what the role of a deacon is, it's very easy. Go read 1 and 2 Timothy. Go read the book of Titus. Go read Acts chapter 6, where the church appointed these men and these women to go and serve and to help and to take the load off of the leadership of the church to go and meet the tangible needs of the people. So sitting among this crowd today, there are already those who are serving as deacons, even if they don't have the title deacon. When you're serving somebody else, you are taking the role of a deacon. And so if you've been nominated for a deacon this year, don't be quick to say, I know it's a humble heart most of the time, well, no, I'm not worthy enough to serve for that, right? Or I'm not good enough for that or whatever. Take some time to really pray about that, because if your church has nominated you to be a deacon, they've already seen you playing that part of a deacon, and they're saying this guy or this lady would be perfect to serve as a deacon in the church. And so I just want to throw that out there. Be praying for the up-and-coming deacons that will be added to our awesome deacon fellowship that we already have. I tell my deacons, I say my deacons, because I have a deacon that's assigned to me and my family that ministers to us and checks on us. And so I would put our fellowship of deacons up against any deacons, not that it's a competition, in any church, because they're that awesome. And so can we just give it up for our deacon fellowship this morning? Corvin mentioned the baptism on August 20th, so just come to me if you want to rededicate your life, if you make a decision to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you want to make it public and seal the deal with baptism. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. It's beautiful. It's a great time, and we hope that you'll join us down there. The last thing I have is this. I meet Pastor Scott David from Bethel Baptist Church every Sunday morning, either at his church or here, and we pray early in the morning together for our churches and for our community and everything. Well, he is hosting a music camp that starts tonight for children. It's free. It's an awesome time. One of my kids have already been. I'm going to try to get Lily to go, our youngest. It starts at 6 p.m. tonight. It'll go all the way through Thursday, and they're teaming up with Beautiful Gate Church up near the lake. So come and see me if you want information, more information about that. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the importance of being in the presence of God. All right, now we can throw those terms out there all the time, and we can talk about the presence of God was at the church today, and it was great, but we're going to talk about, we need to understand that we have to strive, that we need to strive, and we should want to strive to stay in the presence of God every single day that we walk through this earth and through this life, especially us who are believers. Sometimes we may find ourselves feeling like we're not in the Lord's presence, right? The world has a way of doing it. Our flesh has a way of doing that. Our sin has a way of doing that. We're going to talk about that. But sometimes we may find ourselves feeling like we're separated. We feel like, I haven't felt the presence of God in a while. Well, the devil's always waiting there to say, see, I told you all that stuff wasn't real. Or I told you those people at the church don't love you. They haven't checked on you or whatever. But God is always there. We walk away from him. We get too busy. We get distracted. Whatever it is. And the devil loves when we get out of the presence of God. Now, sometimes we can even get so busy doing godly things that we don't spend time with the Lord. We can get so tied up serving in the church, serving as a deacon, or serving other people, doing great things, which are all good things, that we don't spend time with the Lord. Now, some of our brothers and sisters that are here today, church members, they can encourage you, they can strengthen you, they can come along. You might have an awesome family that's a very supportive family that's close by that always is there to help you and lift you up and everything, but even that will not give you the nourishment that we will need if you are really going to be a true Christ follower. All right, and a true Christ follower is a believer who is about doing the work of the ministry. All right, and that's just the truth, right? So your job as a believer is to do the work of the ministry and to be out spreading the gospel and do what you can do to reach people and share with other people what you have found. So today we're going to look no further than this, like right at the very beginning of the Bible. We're going to look at Moses as an example. You see, the book of Exodus opens with Moses experiencing the presence of God at the burning bush. Everybody's been taught that story. They've heard that before, the burning bush. But see, what's really cool is the book of Moses, it ends with the glory of God coming in and filling the tabernacle that they had built to worship him in. And this was all God's plan. You see, the presence of God had to be with Israel so that everyone would know that they are set apart as God's people. Now, Paul talked about that, and so did the writer of Exodus. He reads just the chapter 33, I think. He says that. He says, well, you're set apart, and God's going to be with you so everybody can see that there's something different about you. Other nations might have had powerful armies and leaders. They might have had beautiful temples and idols to worship, but the other nations did not have the presence of God and his glory. Only Israel had that. Church, I want to tell you this morning, if you don't remember, we need to be reminded, other religions have temples, they have rituals, they have all these fancy things and all these other things that they do, but they do not have the presence of the living God. Only a believer of Jesus Christ has the presence of God available to them. The veil has been removed. We're going to talk about that, and they have the Holy Spirit that fills them where you can come boldly to the throne. That's what Paul said. He said, come boldly to the throne of God. Only Christ followers have that. So let's read Exodus chapter 34, and we're just going to read from verse 29 through 35, and as always, I would encourage, we don't have time to read all of it, but I would encourage you to go back and to read this for yourself once I find it. All right, here we are. 29, no, we're not here. Here we are. When Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. I'm going to stop right there and tell you. That's why I titled the sermon today this, Stay Radiant. All right, I forgot to tell you that. Stay radiant. Listen to what it says. It says, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. It didn't say he did anything. He went and spoke to the Lord. Verse 30 goes on to say this, so when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil, but whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just pray this morning. We pray a blessing upon this time of reading your word and preaching your word. And I just pray again, God, that we would get out of the way, that we would remove distractions, and that we would just focus on what you want to tell each one of us today. That's all we ask of you, Lord. And we want to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we go through this, and we're going to get to 2 Corinthians in a little while, we have to understand this. When all this had happened, Moses had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, okay? So he had been up, you're talking about somebody that was serious. He went up on this mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he had seen some of God's glory. He had seen some of God's glory. When he came away from the Lord and went back down to the people, what did it say? It said his face was literally shining. It makes me think about the Mount of Transfiguration, right? When Jesus took his disciples up there and Jesus' face was shining like the sun, and they were all afraid of him at first because it was so awesome. Moses had been in the presence of God. And they had, and he had no idea when he came over to talk to everybody that his face was literally glowing. I don't think he knew. I think he was just like, hey, man, let me tell you what I experienced. And they're like, whoa. Moses had absorbed some of God's glory, and the people could see it all over him. His face was radiant. That's what the Bible says. And this is what I really want to focus on today is what happens next. In verse 31 and 32, while Moses was talking to Aaron and the other leaders, it says this, all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions the Lord had given him while he was on the mountain. And what I want to understand is this, okay? When you have been in the presence of the Lord, people, they might at first say, what's something different about that guy? Something's different about that lady. I don't know. Why are they so happy in the midst of all this? Why do they have this joy? So their first instinct might be like, something's weird. Here's another one of those Bible thumper Christians. They're weird. All right, but eventually the people will want to come near you. They will come and want to be around you. When you have the radiance of the Lord shining on your face and shining in your life, the people around you will want to be around you. Even if they don't admit it, they will want to be around you. When you have the glory of the Lord shining through your life, through your family, through whatever ministry you're involved with, or maybe your vocational job, whatever it is that you where you work, people may think you're strange at first when you don't live like the rest of the world, but let me tell you something. The more that they are around you, the more that they will want to be around you. They'll say, I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is about that person, but I want to be around them. I remember being like that. I wanted to be around other Christians. I wanted to be around rock solid Christian men because that's who I wanted to be. I just didn't want to admit it. I didn't know how to get there. You see, we were all created by God. And even if a person doesn't know the Lord, when they see the joy and they see the radiance of the God that created them bubbling over and flowing over out of somebody else's life, then the life of a believer, they will naturally want to experience it too. So this is what we have to understand. We should be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, right? We are to be out working as part of the ministry. All right, so if you didn't know that, if you've accepted Christ, your job, your whole life should be about sharing the good news so other people can find what you find. We should be trying to win souls for the kingdom of God. But we have to start by letting God's presence fill us first, right? I think it was in Exodus chapter 33, and Moses said, one of my favorite places, I've got it under my Bible, he said, God, if you are not personally going with me, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I don't want to go do any work for the ministry if I don't have God's glory with me. If God's power and God's blessing isn't upon what I'm doing it on my own strength and I'm wasting my time. But if we don't stay in the Lord's presence, we'll start to lose that radiance. Jesus had the glory of God shining all over him. That's why people followed him. They could tell that he was divine. They could tell that there was something different about him, just in his teaching and his attitude and the words he would say and the peace and the joy that just radiated from Jesus. They saw that he was set apart, just like people saw the nation of Israel was set apart. They could see that there was something different about Christ. You see, if Moses would have come down from the mountain with two stone tablets with a bunch of rules on it, and he didn't have the glory of God to back it, and he wasn't shining, and God's glory wasn't bubbling out of him, do you think the people would have gave him two seconds of their attention? No, we know that they eventually followed him, but they didn't give him all their attention even when God's glory was with them. God said they were your stubborn people. I wouldn't be included in that group, if just for the record. I would have probably been top of the list in all reality. But see, the glory of the Lord attracted them to Moses. They said, okay, we're going to follow you because we can tell that you've been in the presence of God. We're going to do what you said to do. We're going to follow you. That doesn't mean they were perfect, but they knew his leadership was divine, that there was something God was with him. God's glory was with Moses, and he had received something that wasn't from man, but it was from God. And that made it easier for Moses to give the people the message that God wanted them to have. Okay, so Why is this? Well, just like you and me, the farther we get away from the presence of God, the further we allow the world to separate us, whatever it could be, the world, maybe our flesh, maybe the devil, whatever it is that can distract us, whatever it is, when this happens, what happens is we lose sight of the glory of God. And guess what? And guess what happens? It shows. The glory starts to fade, and everybody says, well, Anthony's really not that much different here. He's a pastor. But yet he's at work and he just yelled at some truck driver, right? Well, because he didn't hit the right turn signal or whatever when he was inspecting his truck. Well, I thought he was supposed to be a pastor, right? The people can tell when we're falling away from the presence of God. I think this is why Moses covered his face. Now, There's different interpretations. There's different angles. I can only focus on what's on my heart for today. We know that he covered his face to hide some of the shining of the glory of God. But I think there's another reason that he covered his face. Right? The scripture tells us that the radiance would fade away until he went back to the meeting tent. And so I think he didn't want people to see that part of that veil when he would cover his face with it. He said he didn't want people to see that glory was fading away. Moses saw how fast the radiance of God can start to fade when we don't stay in the presence of his glory. Moses knew the only reason the people were following his lead was because he had the glory of God with him. And he knew that they wouldn't respect him. They would not listen to his instructions that God had given him if he wasn't shining and God's glory wasn't shining through him. Who wants to follow someone who's lost their glory? Think about that. Who wants to follow a pastor who's not following Christ? Who wants to follow a church leader? Who wants to follow anybody who doesn't have God showing them the way to go? I'm going to tell you what, if I tried to do anything, preach a sermon or lead a church or anything without God's help, it would be a train wreck. It would be a disaster. Sometimes I'm still stubborn and I go my own way and God has to bring me back. This is why Moses would return to the meeting tent. And what did it say he would do, church? It said he would talk with God. Can I ask you this morning before we go any further? When's the last time you just talked with God? And oh God, let me pass this test. Oh, God, thank you for my food. Amen. Let me eat. Hurry up. Say the blessing quick so we can eat. Now, I'm talking about when's the last time you sat alone and you just talked to God and said, oh, what a friend I have in you, Jesus. Right? When's the last time you just spent time not reciting something, not trying to say, oh, thou God on the highest throne. Just say, God, I'm here to talk to you today, and I want to be in your presence. And I want your glory to shine all over me. I want you. When's the last time you've talked to God? Every time that Moses would talk to God, you know what would happen? And you know what'll happen with you too? The glory will return. Because what happens is you focus on the heavenlies instead of whatever's in front of you today. Whether it's good or bad, you focus on eternal things. His glory would return every time. Now, I know there's somebody here today who's thinking, yeah, his face was shining, all those things, and God split the Red Sea, right? And there was Noah's Ark and all those things, and all the animals got on board. That was all in the Old Testament days. Things like that don't happen anymore, Pastor. So does this really relate to me? All right, well, that's when I would ask you to do this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 7, all right? And we're going to read that. The Apostle Paul talks about this awesome event in the New Testament. This is after Christ had already been here on earth. He had been crucified. He'd been resurrected. And Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And this is what he says, starting at verse 7. And bear with me because it's a lot of reading. And it gets a little wordy. I love how Paul words things. I think I could have wrote with Paul sometimes because it's not always the best grammar and stuff. But anyways, this is what he says, starting at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. It says, the old way with laws etched in stone led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way? Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life, if the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? See what I mean? It's a little wordy. But listen to what Paul's saying. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We don't need anybody to climb the mountain for us. We don't need anybody behind a curtain to confess their sins to. We don't need anybody else, a pastor, to pray for you. We can come very boldly to the throne of God. He goes on to say this in verse 13. We are not like the people of Israel. I'm sorry, we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, Listen to this, church. The veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. All right, so this is what we need to understand about this. Paul explains to the church in Corinth that since Christ Jesus has come, now we can all come boldly into the presence of God. There's no excuse that we can come up with in the Bible that says, or in this world that says, I can't come into God's presence. Before a person turns and trusts the Lord, it's like they're wearing this veil over their face. Their minds and their hearts are hardened. But when the people turn to the Lord, the veil is removed, right? It makes me think about, you know, a bride coming down the aisle. Now, they really don't do that a whole lot anymore, but like they would have the veil over their face, but when they come before their groom, they lifted the veil so they could, there was nothing separating the two. I love that. I was going to wear a veil this morning as an illustration, but I thought that would be kind of creepy. There's no reason the glory of the Lord should ever fade from a believer's life. It's going to because we're human, but there's no reason it should. There's nothing separating us from God. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is nothing that can separate us from God. Paul wrote that to the church in Rome. There is nothing separating us from God. We don't have to go to a meeting tent. We don't have to wait for Moses or a priest to get a word from God so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that each one of us, if we gave our life to Him and we followed Christ, that we would have the advocate, the Spirit of God. And what did the Bible say? What did Paul say? He said, the Spirit is the Lord. So you have God living with you every single day of your life if you have professed and you have given your life to Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that fills us with His glory. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us shine when we go into the world. If we let it. If we let it. Because of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord in our lives can be received at any time. Any time throughout the day, whatever, you can stop and say, oh God, I got to come back into Your presence. For a few minutes, forgive me of this, or Lord, I've gotten distracted. Let me just talk with You for a little while. And guess what? You don't even have to speak out loud. The Bible says that He knows your thoughts and knows what you need before you even ask it. But just like a good father, He loves when His children come to Him and say, God, I need You. I want to spend some time with You. I want to talk with You. The glory of God in our lives can be received anywhere, and we have to remember that the Spirit is the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, and I don't have it up here, but what we just read, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what, church? Freedom. See, this freedom that we have, this gives us a new purpose in life. That's what it does. It gives. There's no longer a veil. There's no separating. There's no excuses. We're set free to go be who God created us to be in Christ. Once we experience the glory of the Lord for ourselves, and once we begin to let the Lord change our heart and change our ways and change us into a new creation that the Bible promises that it will do, then we begin to reflect God's glory. That's what happens. That's what happens. That's when we begin to be transformed into the image of God. We're talking about being baptized down at the river. That's what's so important about baptism, okay? And that's what I understand about infants getting baptized. I don't understand that because it's supposed to be you telling the world, listen, I used to be dead in my sin, but now I have given my life to Christ, and now I am alive in Christ. I'm buried. That's what it's symbolizing. I'm dead in my sin. It's all gone, and now I'm raised up. I'm a new man. And you know what? I want everybody that's standing here and out can see, I want you to know that I've given my life to Christ, and that's the decision that I've made. I've rededicated my life today to Christ, and I want people to know that. That's why it's so important for public baptism. So I want to challenge you with four quick things. Believe it or not, that was the introduction to my sermon. We still got 4 points to go through, but they're really quick. Number one is this. I want to point out 4 things to give you a challenge today. And this is what we're going to read this before we close. I'm just going to give you a point and some scripture. I'm going to challenge you with 4 things today. Number one is this. Do not allow yourself to get too busy to get alone in the presence of God. All right? Doesn't matter what you're doing to be too busy. Do not allow yourself to be too busy to get alone in the presence of God. Proverbs chapter 23 says, verse 4 and 5 says this, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. Now, I know the song isn't biblical, but I think about that, know when to hold on. I just see like, you know, anyways. All right, it goes on to say this. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Matthew chapter 16. All right, so there's the Old Testament. You heard that. Let's go to the New Testament. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. You will find a new purpose in life. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find joy. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say this, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Church, don't get too busy to spend time with God. Amen? All right, point number two, or challenge number two. Don't ever be too proud to admit that you need God. Don't ever be too proud, oh boy, to say that you need the presence of God in your life. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, one of my favorite verses, it says this, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. You want to know what the Lord says, what is good? Here it is, right here. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He wants you to humble yourself and just walk with God. Oh, him, and he walks with me, and he talks. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to walk with him humbly and say, God, I need you every hour. I need you every day. I need you there. Luke chapter 14. Here we go back to the New Testament. All right, we saw the Old Testament, what it says. The New Testament, Jesus says this. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You want to be exalted this morning? Humble yourself before God and say, God, I need your help. I need your presence in my life. Don't let your pride convince you that you don't need God. Number three, don't let your sin keep you from the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 59, and this is the one you should have said, oh boy, with. Somebody said that earlier, oh boy. All right, here we go. I knew I shouldn't have come today. He's going to talk about sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 says this. Listen, with the exclamation point, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. Somebody needs to hear that today. God can save you from whatever you've gotten tangled up in, from whatever you think is unsavable about you. He is not too weak to save you. His ear is not too deaf to hear you call upon him this morning. Listen to verse 2. He says, it's your sin that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. How is it that we expect God to come running to us and help us in our time of need when he gave his son on the cross, who knew no sin, to wear our sin, to be sin for us on the cross, and we're going to live in that old sin, but we're going to expect God to listen to our cry when we need help? He's already given us the answer. He's already given us the antibiotic for our infection. And we're choosing to go back and say, oh, we don't want those pills, but we want to go back to the nastiness. That's what Isaiah was saying in Luke chapter 15. Here we go to the New Testament. Jesus says this, in the same way there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. God is waiting for you to repent today and just say, I'm done with this sin. I'm done with it. I don't know what whatever it is. It could be an addiction. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be greed, pride, whatever it is. We can list them all day long. And we've all experienced a portion of them. Give it to the Lord. He's ready. And the angels are ready to just say, woo, we got another one, God. We got another one. Yeah. Settle your sin and repent and run to the presence of God. And fourth, last but not least, is this. Do not settle for life under a veil. Now, come on, somebody. Why in the world do you want to walk around with a covering over your face, a covering over your heart, toiling through this life, dealing with all the things you have to deal with, unsure about your eternity, unsure about death, all those things? Why would you settle for wearing a veil over your face, trying to hide what's going on in your life, when there's freedom to be found today in Jesus Christ? Do not let your hearts be hardened this morning, but instead remember the Lord has called you into a new life where you don't have to cover your face. You don't have to pretend that you're somebody that you're not, and you don't have to pretend not to be somebody that you are. But preacher, I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't understand everything in the Bible, or I don't even really understand what you're talking about. This is kind of over my head. I don't get it. How can I accept that if I really don't understand everything? Well, I will tell you this, and I'll encourage you with this. You don't have to fully understand spiritual things to accept them. To start believing and say, I don't understand all this, God, but I believe. You know, every day, every week, I have questions. And when I was reading this scripture and studying this scripture this week, I was like, am I really preaching this right? God, I don't know. Do I really understand this? We're always going to have questions about spiritual things while we're living in the flesh. But guess what? Guess what? Even if we have questions, even if we have doubts, we have to soften our hearts and say, God, I trust you anyway. That's what the Bible calls faith. That's what do you think Abraham, when he was carrying his son and putting him on an altar, you don't think he was questioning God a little bit? God, are you sure about this? But guess what? He believed. And he said, I'm going to do it anyways because I know you're God and you're not going to do something that's going to be bad for me. You still believe. You know what? I don't understand how every part of my phone works, right? I had a friend once that could replace the screen on these things, and he took it all apart and he had all the little pieces out there, and I'm thinking like, what? You know, what is all this stuff and how in the world is all this? I might not understand how all this works and all the little diodes and all the little memory chips and all the things that are inside this thing, but you can guarantee one thing. If I had an emergency right now, and I needed to call 911, I would pick this thing up and I'd call 911. You don't have to understand everything about how it works and everything just to believe that it will work. If you need to call 911, use it today. Open your hearts to the spiritual things and take off the veil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says this. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. This is what I want us to hear. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different we know him now. See, there's somebody who had you had a veil on at one time, but now it's been lifted. You see things differently. He goes on to say this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Church, I want to encourage you today, if you feel as if the glory of the Lord is fading out of your life, or you feel like you've been distant from God, or maybe it has faded from your life and it's been there for a long time, and you feel like you're in this place of darkness or this place of discouragement, whatever it is, all you need to do this morning is return to the Word of God. Open up the Word and read what God has for you. Read what His Word says. That's why He gave it to us. It's a roadmap for us. Meditate on it. Spend some time talking with the Lord. Go home and get on your knees. You can do it right now. You can say, God, remove this veil from me. I need it removed. I'm ready to accept spiritual things. You're softening my heart right now. I can feel it. I got a lump in my throat. Talk to God. It's that simple. Talk to God. Because once you see the love of Jesus, once you feel the love of Jesus, once you're reminded of how much He loves you and what He did for you on the cross, you will continue to be transformed. As you continue to go back and you say, I'm going to continue to look at the cross and I'm going to continue to look in the Word and I'm going to continue to talk with God, what will happen is you'll be transformed by the Spirit of God. You'll be given knowledge, more knowledge and understanding by the Spirit of God. The more that you seek, the more that you will find and what He'll do is He'll change you into the image of God, but not for your glory, for the glory of God. That's what He wants to do. He wants to take each one of us and transform us into the image of God for His glory. Just like Moses, when the people see that God, the glory of God is shining through my life, shining through your life, they will come and they'll want to ask. They'll say, what is it? What is it about you that I want to be around you? What is it, the message that God has you to give to everybody else? Well, you can start with this. I just want to tell you that God loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son for you. And I want you to have what I have. That's what I tell people when we go to Zimbabwe. We have a little script that we can follow, and we try to do that, but I'm not a script guy, so a lot of times I just say, look, I paid like $4,000. The church sent me here. Flew 7,000 and some miles. And I'm not asking any money from you. I don't want to take you with me. I don't want to do this. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I came all this way, left my family to tell you what I have found. And when they hear that, they go, whoa. Because the world, it's got to get something in return. But that's not how it should be with us. We just go and we say, I just want you to have what I have. Your workplace becomes easier. Your situation becomes more purposeful. All because it's God working through you and in your life and less of you. That's what it is. That's what Moses experienced. So I want to challenge you today to stay radiant. When you go from this place today, stay radiant. And you can't stay radiant if you don't spend time in the presence of God. Remember, don't get too busy to spend time with the Lord. Check your pride at the door. Humble yourself before the Lord and get alone with him and say, God, I need you. I need thee every hour. Number three, if there's some sin lurking in your life, we all have it, confess it to the Lord. The Bible says he is faithful to forgive you if you confess your sins. Just go to him and say, God, you know I've been messing up. I've sinned, just like David said. He said, I've sinned against you and you alone, and I'm ready to walk away from it. And guess what? Jesus said, even when the Lord's Prayer, and we pray, ask him, say, look, help me. Help me to resist the temptation. He'll do it. He'll do it. Number four, don't allow your heart to become hardened. Don't settle for a veil over your face when there's freedom waiting for you here today. Give your life to Christ today and watch him fill you with his glorious peace right here today. Amen? Stay in the Lord's presence. Let his glory fill your life. But I also want to remind you of this before we close. Be ready to explain it to others what you have, because it's going to reflect. Just like the Bible says, the more that you spend time with the Lord and the more that you strive to be like God and to let him transform you into the creation, guess what? Be ready, because it's going to reflect. His glory is going to reflect to other people, and they're going to come and ask. Be ready to be able to explain it. You don't have to have a doctrinal degree or anything like that. You can just say, Jesus loves me, and this is what he did for me, and he'll do it for you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, and Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, to somebody here today who's never experienced your Spirit working in their life, Lord, they feel right now as if they've got a veil on. I've been there, so I can say it. Why? They talk about all the spiritual stuff, but I don't understand it. What are they talking about? Lord, I pray today that you would be softening, plowing over, opening up those hardened hearts that we so often get, that I get every week when I walk away from your presence and I don't allow spiritual things, even if I don't understand them all the time, that I don't allow them to come on. And then we come into this place with a veil over our face like we've got to protect something and we can't let it in. Lord, today I pray that your seed, your word that's gone out, I'm just so thankful that I get to walk in your garden and scatter seeds. But Lord, I want what you want. And that's for the seed to find good soil that will produce 700 times. I can't remember exactly what you said, but hundreds of times more, thousands of times more than what was planted. That's what you want from this place. And so, God, I just pray today that we would allow our hearts to be open to you. We would put our trust in you so we could remove that veil and start our new life in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today and God is calling you, I would just ask you this morning. Ask yourself this morning, talk to the Lord, and evaluate yourself. Is it well with your soul today? Is it well with your soul? It can be if you just humble yourself before the Lord today. Amen? If there's something I can pray with you about, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.